Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
As well as some other college football news. Coming up, Kent Segura is going to join us from the AJC and AJC.com. We'll talk to him about a variety of things. Some guy talk along the way. If you want to chime in, 404-726-0929. A couple of things for you to get in on. One, this Belichick saga. We started the show talking about Falcon fans, are you glad that we ultimately did not hire him? For everybody that wanted Belichick at the time, you're like, this is it. This is the right guy. And this is, again, you know, time and space, man. In the moment, you're like, oh, this is perfect. Not really. And we would be dealing with a lot of the stuff now that is coming out. And, you know, whether you think whatever's going on with his girlfriend, obviously, Mike, this has become news. And it's every day. There's something new in the news cycle every day now.
But wait. There's more. Coming up in Guy Talk in about less than 40 minutes, a new wrinkle to the story. Her ex-boyfriend speaks. Wait to hear what he's got to say. Talk about Bill Belichick's girl's ex. You're going to, yeah, you won't believe it, so stay tuned.
All right.
How's that?
It's coming.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Yeah, that's obvious now. Dyson Daniels named the most improved player. We've been spending a lot of time on our Hawks simply because you see that Luka and LeBron weren't able to get it done. How do you build the right team?
Two of the biggest names in the league. You got to have other pieces.
Around Trae Young. And so you can comment on that as well as we continue to throw names out there. We talked about Zion and other names. We'll get back into that conversation along the way. But right now, let's talk some dogs. Mike, Jared Curtis, number one quarterback, 2026. We have a time. And now we know he's going to make this announcement at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Day-Day Eastern, Monday, at the school ceremony where Jared Curtis is set to make his announcement. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, we talked a little bit about this earlier this week. He is the number one quarterback in the country. He's down to two schools, Oregon, Georgia.
Mike Bobo visited him at his home yesterday.
Okay. So we mentioned, you know, as we had our quarterback conversation about the dogs and, you know, putting guys in the pros, what kind of guys they're recruiting, you know, is there a certain type of body or player that they're looking for when you talk about the physical stature? Either way, here's another guy that they could lock up. And again, they do have a backup plan. We talked about this, and I say that because, Mike, we don't know if he's going to choose Oregon or not. He had committed to the dogs and then decommitted, and I just think that was more about, you know, more attention, seeing what was out there. But this kid already loved Georgia, and we're going to see if he recommits and you know, it becomes official. But they got a kid out of Texas that they're also recruiting who's a top recruit out of Texas that they really like, and Mike Bobo was just there the other day.
According to Dog Nation, we mentioned that Bobo was just talking to Jared Curtis, Nashville Christian star, as you said, the number one quarterback in the country. And Oregon apparently has not been there in a while, but Oregon apparently will sneak in on May 4th, the day before he makes the announcement. So
May the 4th be with you.
So the Ducks' minions will be in Music City to try to win this kid over. So it's basically, you're a duck or a dog, pal. And we'll see.
All right, so we're hearing that Bobo is coming. They're going to visit after the Oregon guys come in?
So Oregon's coming the 4th, and then Bobo and them are coming after to visit. So just to one-up those guys
this
there, yes.
This sounds like, who was it? Was it Marcus Dupree?
Talking about the 30 for 30?
And the 30 for 30, and the unbelievable days of the Wild Wild West. Back then it was the Southwest Conference, and literally you had recruiters for the schools living in the neighborhood, like across the street from Marcus Dupree's house.
Crazy.
I mean, just insane trying to get this star. He wound up going to Oklahoma, right?
He did. Yeah. He did. Bo Bentley is the other kid that's highly touted in the 2026 recruiting class. Again, Salina High School out of Texas won the state championship there. So that's the other kid's name that you may or may not hear, depending. But now we have the time and date. That, by the way, I'd rather go after two. It's sort of like when you got a big putt and you say, you go ahead and go. Well, who's further out? We're about even, but you can go ahead. You put the pressure on Oregon, and you just come in and clean up, right? Now, Dan Lanning, Mike, we know this. We talked about it. He is a terrific recruiter, man. He's putting guys in the league. He was great at Georgia, and that has not changed at Oregon, and that's why he's building that program the way it is. I don't know which way this thing's going to go, but it's going to be fun to watch, and we'll be all over it on Monday.
It is interesting. You know, Dan Lanning is with Kirby for a couple of years, and then Day-Day, you said apparently Oregon's trying to poach an offensive line recruit
from
Georgia.
This offensive lineman, Jackson Cantwell, Oregon looks like he's kind of leaning towards them over Georgia and Miami.
Because here's the thing. So you got Lanning's guys go in, and then Bobo come in. So then when Bobo's in, it's just like the Oregon guys try to snake him in the meeting, like,
yeah.
Candy Graham.
Yes, exactly right.
Candy Graham for Mr. Curtis.
It's going to be great, man. I mean, like, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall to hear Oregon's pitch? That, like, this is your last opportunity.
Hey.
And then to hear Bobo come in, you know, it's like he's going to have a cape on, you know.
I mean, go old school. I'll tell you what, we'll kick his ass and double what he's paying you.
All right. Meanwhile, Malachi Starks, guys, he was drafted 27th overall. He goes to the Ravens. What a perfect spot for Malachi Starks. Mm. But they were talking to him, and he was talking about, you know, the things that he's going to benefit from, Mike, and that's the Kirby Smart way at the Georgia football program. And he says, you know, when you've done that and you've had to be a part of that, he says it's the perfect place for me. Like, being a Raven is the perfect place. He's already going in feeling this way. I think they feel that way. And now, guys, you got Hamilton, right, who was an all-pro safety, and you bring in Malachi Starks. Mike, that Ravens defense got, I think, significantly better just with this draft and drafting Malachi Starks.
And we've talked about, you know, you become a college football player, and you all walks of life, okay? You could come from a small town where your family's kind of affluent. You might be on the other side of it. Well, I got a good buddy who does rock radio, one of the rock stations in Baltimore, and he goes, man, everybody, the Ravens fans are already gushing over Malachi Starks in the press conference because he talks about, you know, a lot of Georgia fans know the story, how he was homeless twice and growing up literally on the streets and didn't get to see the parents because they were working. And basically everybody, I mean, that's a hard town. I mean, not just saying because of the Wire, Carl, but the Charm City.
No, it is.
They're looking to embrace a guy, and this is a guy tailor-made for that town. The people are already falling in love with Malachi Starks just after the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get drafted and you go, man, you know, you never regret it because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But if you had a chance to, like, pick a team and say, does this fit this person? This fits perfectly for him. We wish him nothing but the best. Meanwhile, real quick, while we're talking college football, guys, Brent Key, Mike, went in the portal and made some moves. The portal's been open for about, what, three weeks now? Is that right? I think it's been 2 weeks, two and a half, something like that. But he went in and grabbed a couple of players, starting with an offensive tackle, Malachi Carney, who had previously played at South Alabama. So he's going to be an incoming junior. And then they went and grabbed three guys in the secondary, Mike. He went and got a safety, a corner, kid named John Mitchell, Jyron Gilmore. Gilmore previously played at Tennessee Tech and then at Georgia State. So listen, when you hear this now, if I read this to you, you know, again, 10, 15 years ago, you'd be like, this guy's been all over the place. He must not be any good. This is what happens. As a matter of fact, they went out and got one of their own. There's a kid, Akilo Stone, who played two seasons at Georgia Tech. He transferred to Ole Miss, Mike. After two seasons, he's back at Georgia Tech.
Right.
So he's coming back, and Brent Key, again, going into the portal to go after some of the things that he feels like they need. We'll see if this stuff is, you know, again, going to help them, but I think Brent is doing what, you know, we said. I think you feel like he knows what he's doing, and the program's moving in the right direction.
SI says it's one of the better transfer portal jobs as far as grabbing some talent in this offseason, ranking some of the schools, especially in the ACC.
Yeah, that's big, man. We'll see how it all shakes out. But he went and got safety, two safeties and a corner, which was part of the haul here in the portal for Georgia Tech. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. And by the way, when was the last time that Georgia got the number one quarterback? Was it Justin? Was he last number one
Justin
overall
Fields,
quarterback?
Right.
Because who was the kid from Washington? Eason?
Yeah, Jacob Eason. Jacob Eason was the number one pocket passer in college that year.
And who didn't commit? Oh, who was the other one?
Rayola, Dominic Rayola.
Oh, that's right. Rayola.
Dylan Rayola, right?
Yeah.
Came into, was it Buford? And then everyone said there was always a slim chance he'd go back, and he did. And that still makes no sense, but he did.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, and again, I don't know if you're a Georgia fan, but on social media, guys said, well, even if they get the number one quarterback, okay, I hear you. But give me as many top guys as I can get.
Right.
I hear you. I know what you're saying. It doesn't mean that they're going to win the chip. I understand that. But I'd rather have a selection of top quarterbacks than not. So if I can have three of those guys in my room, Mike, that's great.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and I got texts and got some comments from both sides of it. Some guys thought we were just trying to stir the pot, talking about, you know, why don't we get the stud dual threat guy to Georgia, or more black quarterbacks coming through Georgia. And we look at everything. We look at everybody that Kirby's recruited. But one guy had a great point, saying, look, man, it's like in the old days, there was sort of a pecking order, and certainly a coach bound at Florida State. You'd be the starter for 2 years. Then the next guy would get 2 years. And that's, you know, that's generally how it's accepted. And I think, you know, not like Kirby's doing something other coaches aren't doing. I don't want to make it sound like he's so stubborn and locked in his ways. But certainly he's always, at least in the sample size we've seen, tended to go with the guy who's got more experience. But in the case of JT Daniels, he never got the job back. Stetson Bennett never relinquished it. So it's not like Kirby's inflexible, but it is kind of interesting to see if you ask about, you know, what's going to happen with this current rotation. Is Gunnar Stockton going to be entrenched? Mm-hmm. And some dog fans think he will be.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, at this point, we and the Puglisi thing, we knew he was ahead of Puglisi, just from an offensive, you know, learning standpoint, play calling.
Game experience, right.
Yeah, he was just a little bit ahead. But again, I didn't think that was going to be an even competition. I felt like he went into the spring with a jump, and you leave spring as the guy still, even though Kirby's not naming his starting quarterback right now. And by the way, it's not about stirring the pot. We're simply asking the question, and it's something that has been asked of me. I'm not in those recruiting rooms. But when you start to see the kids that they're recruiting year after year, and you start to see, hey, Mike, these guys all kind of look the same.
Right.
It bodes the question of, okay, what is that the kind of guy that they want in that room? And that, if that's the case, fine. But I asked, where's the next DJ Shockley? That's right. What I'm asking.
And it's a legitimate question. It's the only thing you could argue that is missing. Meanwhile, we were talking a lot about what happened with Nico Iamaleva and going out there to UCLA. And now it's like I read an article today for the Knoxville News Sentinel, and it was funny. Joey Aguilar messaged the Vols, I'm ready to give my all for Tennessee.
That's the transfer?
That's one of the dudes we've talked about, like who's going to step up. And again, it's now he's officially the Vols quarterback. I'm ready to give my all for Tennessee. Transfers from UCLA to UT. Mm. So now it matters, I guess, if you're Josh Heupel, can anybody throw this football to compete in the SEC? Because you had a guy which, you know, I got to be honest. I mean, we talk so much about the Shedeur Sanders camp. If ever there was a definition of overplaying your hand, it was, needless to say, it was Nico and the way that whole thing devolved.
Well, I just, it was the funniest thing to me is, and this is why, again, I don't know who his advisors were. Maybe it was just his dad. You didn't have anybody you had spoken with before making this move?
Right.
Like you just thought, I'm going to leave and everybody's going to, you know, lay down the red carpet. I mean, Mike, that was the thing to me. That's, you weren't prepared for the consequences once you made the decision without really knowing what was out there.
Right. Aguilar, taking a page from his former coach at UCLA, says, really excited to be here in Knoxville. They got a stadium.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
with a checkerboard, and there's a river by the stadium. I'm kidding. I'm making that part up. I know there's Rocky Top, and there went two strangers went up there looking for a moonshine still. I'm going to try to find that still and bring it home. Thank you. No, he didn't say that. I'm just making fun of their coach.
It's crazy.
The former coach of UCLA, his former boss.
It's us and USC.
Still makes
just a
laugh.
Cheap excuse to cue up one of our favorite pieces of audio.
Hey, man, coming up, Kintzinger is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about a couple of different things.
Two great emblems coming together.
The best. He writes for the AJC, AJC.com. That's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Kintzinger is next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is Dukes and Bell. We were talking about Dyson Daniels. He's going to be on the morning show tomorrow, 8:20. And I just found out Mike Johnson is also playing in the media game. Mike, don't hurt yourself, bro. I mean, you're out there trying to run around.
Is he gonna,
Atlanta
is he
United
gonna play
tomorrow?
Goalkeeper?
I don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
He's an athlete, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes your brain tells you can do things, and well, I don't know. All right, Mike Johnson's going to play tomorrow. Abe's going to be out there. Mike and I will be out there as well, Atlanta United facilities for the media game, and we'll be out there. We'll get a chance to talk to the manager, I believe, as well. Lots going on tomorrow. Right now, though, let's talk to Ken Segura, columnist for the AJC, AJC.com. Want to talk some Falcons and Braves with you, Ken, and thanks for jumping on with this. Let's start with the Falcons because it's top of mind with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those situations. Look, we can start with the whole fine situation. Exactly. We can start with the whole fine situation. And, you know, it's just like Mike and I were saying, it's just like a black eye, right? Nobody wants to deal with this, but we're dealing with it as fans. Where are you at on this whole situation? And it feels like we can't get out of our own way.
Sometimes it does feel like that. I mean, it's funny. I think, Mike, you were tweeting about it yesterday, just said all the crazy things that like happened, like with, you know, Cousins self-indicting the team and the, you know, the crowd noise and the injury report stuff. Like, all this is just is not helping them win any games, really. I mean, everybody tampers, just nobody admits it. The thing with the you know, the prank call, like how do you explain how that, like, you know, it's funny, how do you explain, we need to make sure we protect our iPad because our kids might find Schuler's number on it and call him. I mean, it's just, it's like, I don't know that necessarily indicts the team, like they're doing things the wrong way. It's just kind of a crazy string of things that seem to only happen to Falcons. I don't know quite what to make of it more than that. But yeah, it's bizarre for sure.
Ken Segura is with us now, columnist at large for the AJC. Yeah, man. And what was your take? I mean, everything we've read and certainly our gut, we got to sit down with both our draft picks. We think with Jalen Walker, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, Ken, but sure feels right. And then just a matter, I guess, how do you feel? What's your level of concern or risk involved in going to get James Pierce Jr.?
You know, It makes sense in that you needed the help there, and obviously this is a big season. I think the what's always kind of funny about the draft, or there are many things funny about it, but like everyone's always eager to give their draft grades and everything, and like nobody's gonna know. I mean, it's very well conceivable that Pierce, that pick could blow up in their face, but it's also conceivable that, you know, in 12 months or 6 months, you know, we'll say like, yeah, that was a really smart move, and the Falcons are now going to be picking, you know, 22nd because of it, and that was a risk worth taking. But yeah, I mean, everything you hear about them and see about them is they're terrific off the edge, which is what they need, and so it was a high price to pay, but like as the way the Falcons explained it, you know, we're just making our 26 first round pick a year early makes some sense, and they had to flop picks to get there, but it all just depends on how good they are, and at least, I mean, this point, which, you know, is months from having any real answers, it looks like it could work out to their advantage.
It's Ken Segura, guys, columnist with the AJC here on Dukes and Bell. Guy Talk's on the way. We're going to talk more Falcons as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's shift gears and talk about the Braves, because to start 5-13 or whatever it was, and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is ugly. And they fought their way back. Now, they are not in first place, but this is a big series going into this weekend with the Dodgers. What do you think that this team, in your opinion, is lacking? AA has tried to do a lot of things, and Mike and I have been critical, right? Like, okay, is this working, that working? But as you watch the Braves, I still don't think they've hit their stride, but still don't know no Acuna, right?
Yeah, I mean, that and Strider, obviously. I guess you look at the roster, obviously, Albies isn't playing as well as he could. There's a question about the bullpen, and obviously that's where they've kind of bought lottery tickets and hopefully it's going to pay off. You wished, like everyone was saying, they've been able to spend more. There's presumably reasons why that didn't happen, but yeah, I give it a month with Acuna, and if things are still amiss, then you start to really worry. But you know, it seems like they've kind of righted themselves, hitting well, not even hitting. You know, it's crazy. They go the series and Colorado without even hitting a home run, but still win two or three games. It seems like they're finding their stride, and yeah, once they get Acuna back, presumably in a couple of weeks, I would think things would pick up from there.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Can I just get your 2 cents worth on this? I mean, we know that Alex Anthopoulos pulled off some great coups. I mean, the money ball, the way they did 21 to replace Acuna's injury, but and the pitching, the bullpen was exquisite. And it just seems like whether it's philosophical from Alex or from above him, they just don't give him the wherewithal to spend on enough pitching. That's my old saw. I go to it every week. We talk about the Braves. Where do you fall on the way they spend their money?
It's funny. They always say, you know, we're a top 10 budget team, but in a way that's almost like, you know, when the ACC and Big 12 are like, well, we're one of the four power conferences. I mean, you are, but you're still miles behind the Big 12 and or the Big 10 SEC. So, you wish they would loosen the budget a little more. But clearly for, you know, who knows what the exact number is there. It seems like it would certainly seem like they're not able to go above a certain number and spend the way they'd want. I think some of that is probably just A's philosophy, but some of it is probably just very real, and his budget is limited in a way that, for better or worse, like is worse that, you know, most fans or all fans would want.
What do you think while we're talking about the Braves? Kimbrel is coming. I don't know when he's going to be here. I said to Mike, you know, we all remember his glory years, right? When he got brought up with the team, and look, I'd love to have a guy that throws the kind of heat that Kimbrel throws. I just don't know what to expect. But this is another example of what Mike's just mentioning. You know, you're going to roll the dice, take a chance. Craig Kimbrel, great name, great recognition, brand recognition. I don't know if he's going to be able to help this team or not. I know that, you know, they're hoping, but right now it's just one of those things. It's a nice story, Ken.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I remember being down in spring training. There were all these guys that, you know, you could say like, well, yeah, if he can pitch like he did in 22 or 23, they'll be fine. It does seem like they're just, and I'm like, even then he was, you know, Alex was saying like, yeah, we're going to have a lot of churn in the bullpen, which is his way of saying like, yeah, we don't know who's going to hit, but if we throw enough things at the wall, eventually one of them's going to stick or two of them are going to stick. And you know, in time, maybe it'll prove to be the case. And actually, the thing I wonder, maybe like the money there, it seems like they're not spending, is they're going to wait till the trade deadline and say, okay, we've got these holes, but we really do need, you know, a setup guy or a bridge guy or whatever. And that, you know, maybe that's when these questions are answered about how come they're not spending more. But yeah, you know, it does seem like, to me, like the way you guys see it too, that they're just trying a lot of different things and hoping eventually that whether it's Kimbrel or somebody else, that they're going to get, you know, the right answer. But when you play that game, you're obviously taking the risk that none of them are. So, so it's frustrating, but that's the way they're playing it.
Yeah, the Phillies and Mets definitely don't shop with Groupon. It's a Ken Segura, guys, from AJC with us here on the WadeFor.com hotline. We're talking about money and not spending it. How about what the Hawks are going to do? Because we got to get out of this play-in rut. We really feel good about Jalen. Carl, we bring it up all the time. You know, Trey's got one more year, then he can opt out. So do you think, do you see Ressler? And first of all, we got to find out a new general manager. But what do you think the Hawks are going to do? And will they make a splash?
I don't know. So I talked with a scout who told me something interesting. He thought that one reason why they're doing this of going out and trying to find hire a president is like one benefit you have of that is, let's say you bring in five candidates and say, hey, what would you do with the Hawks? You know, what would you do with Trey? And if they get a consensus of, well, like, oh, I will trade him, this isn't going to work, or yeah, I think all you need is this kind of player or whatever, that maybe will give them some direction on, okay, this is the direction we need to go in. And, you know, you hire one of those people that gives you that that line of planning. I'm not sure they know at this point. I feel like you can win with Trey, but you have that young core. I don't think you can win as constituted. I think there's still another big piece I would think that you need to add to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I think so too. Ken, make sure you read Ken Segura. Thank you for joining us, first of all. But AJC, AJC.com, guys, he's writing about all this different stuff, Atlanta sports and more. So make sure you check him out. Ken, congratulations, by the way, on everything, and appreciate you, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. I love the show.
Thanks, brother.
Take care, guys.
You too.
And Ken's old beat, kind of interesting, was Georgia Tech.
That's right.
Which brings us to a hell of a crazy story, which just dropped in the last about 10 minutes. You guys remember Brian Gregory?
Yes.
Very uncompelled. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like Joe Pesci. Reminded me a little bit of like a wise guy, you know. Was a longtime Izzo assistant. Was at Dayton. Came to Tech and did absolutely nothing.
Correct.
And Oren, then what, he matriculated to the NBA?
So eventually ended up in Phoenix, where he's been helping out with the front office for a couple of years, which led to his aforementioned promotion, Mike Bell.
He's now the new general manager of the Phoenix Suns.
What?
This is literally the definition of falling forward or upward by any guesstimation.
How?
I this is one that kind of, well, it, all, first off, it just shows you, even though they did play in the NBA Finals 4 years ago, they're a friggin' hot mess.
Yeah, because they've fired three coaches, two of them championship coaches.
Right. But Brian Gregory? I mean, look, but for the grace of God, go I, and God bless. He wound up at South Florida, where he did nothing there. Then from there, made it to the NBA, to Oren's point, working as a consultant. And so a guy that has really done nothing to sort of establish himself. He's 327 and 287 in college as a head coach. That's a .533 winning percentage all time.
Wow.
And now all of a sudden, he's apparently becoming the Suns. He was vice president of player programming, and now he's moving up to GM.
Okay. So the owner's name is Matt Ishba, and he is multi-billionaire dude, blah, blah, blah. Aren't they all? But right. Mike, he
I mean,
he has shown his inability, okay, to make the right decisions when it comes to players. He traded for Durant. They gave up a buttload of picks. This hasn't worked. Again, they didn't even make the play-in. I just talked about the two championship-caliber coaches, Bud being the latest. They gave Bud 5 years, $50 million, guys. Fired him after one season. He's getting his money. And now you're making it a guy that has never been a general manager, never been on that side. Now, this is a different deal. When you're talking about players and moving players and et cetera, that's a different element, Mike. It's why we all question Landry Fields getting the job here,
right?
Fair or unfair?
Well,
right?
I said at the time the phrase dilettante came to mind. You know what I mean? And it's always tough because you don't want to sound like you're talking down about an African-American job candidate, but the resume was not impressive. if we were honest, at the time. But this is even less impressive when you think what Brian Gregory has accomplished.
Yes.
He was good at Dayton. He was never over 500 anywhere else in the last few years. If he's the vice president of player programming, I mean, and then, you know, he's been working with...
Yeah, but that's not... What does that mean?
That's like a vague, you know, business card that makes no sense.
There are titles in all of these organizations, trust me, that you kind of go, what is that? What's that mean and what do you do? There are certain people who actually work with player personnel on the player personnel side, Mike. And then there are people who just watch what goes on the player personnel side.
2 years, Carl. He got hired there in 2023. 2 years later, he's a GM.
I'm shocked. Right. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Now,
I'm shocked.
It is kind of funny because the famous example of falling upwards was Lane Kiffin. And, you know, the great story goes that the Raiders wanted Sarkisian, and Sarkisian wasn't going to leave. So they went and got Lane Kiffin from USC at the time. Sarkisian later went to Washington. And so they got Lane Kiffin, who was in over his head. Al Davis wanted to get rid of him almost immediately. And then he just, from there, he just kept falling forward to Tennessee and USC. And eventually, you know, eventually got the car wash career resurrected with Nick Saban. And now he's in a perfect sweet spot, I would say, for Lane Kiffin. But this one just kind of, it's like, wow. And then, you know, as far as minority, there are African-American general managers, but, I mean, whoever's out there in the job cycle right now, how did this guy get hired?
Yeah, well, that's the question you have to ask. All right, right. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, just when you thought you had everything covered on the Bill Belichick story, we found Jordan Hudson's ex-boyfriend, and he's spilling some tea about his time with Miss Hudson. Compliments of the official content provider of Dukes and Bell, Black Sports Online. Stay tuned for that. And you saw the video of the Pirates fan? I mean, what was that? We'll try to dive into it next. Yeah, boy, it is Dukes and Bell, man, on a Thursday today. And a couple of things we were talking about earlier to start the show, because a lot of folks really want to build Belichick here, understand the resume. Although Carl and I argued at the time, you know, everybody at some point loses their fastball. About the only coach I can honestly say who in his third act actually did a hell of a job was Dan Reeves. When he came here to Atlanta, remember, kind of filled time with the Giants and kind of butted heads with the front office. And I think at the time I was living in Fort Myers, saying, "What the hell is Dan Reeves going to do with the Falcons?" Well, second year worked out pretty good. Third, I mean, a couple years later, signs off on Mike Vick. You know, we had some good things going. But the reason I bring that up is we mentioned, you know, guys that it didn't really work out for. You know, like Jimmy Johnson in Miami. You know, could draft some great defense. Carl never got the offense right to work. You know, the last few good remaining years of Dan Marino. So, what do you think Belichick would have done here? Would it all been his crew?
Yes.
Would he brought his guys?
Yes.
You know, now if he brings Josh, you know, bringing Josh McDaniels, that's not bad. But if he's bringing all the other guys, like his son, imagine he said, "My son's going to be the defensive coordinator." Could you imagine how some Falcon fans would react to that?
Well, look, but here's the thing: you would have trusted it because he's Belichick, and that was part of the issue. Is what is your vision? What do you, for like, it can't be what it was in New England. See, this is the problem so many times we have in sports is a guy leaves and you go, "Well, he won there." Doesn't mean anything. You have to have the vision to do something different where you're going. And, Mike, I just feel like it had become mundane to him. That right. This is what I do. If you don't like it, tough. And if you like it, well, you know, get out of the way. But this is how I'm going to do it. So I don't know all of that as far as the hires. All I know is how that second interview went bad. And I told you guys, this right. ain't happening.
As we said, I wanted Jim Harbaugh. The reason I'm going to bring this up, we got another story about Belichick's crazy girlfriend. But I just want to talk because we were mentioning a lot of guys at the time were really locked in with Belichick because it would have been better than Raheem. And again, Raheem's got to redeem himself to a degree because there were some blunders last year. And he was also given, I would say, a set of circumstances that even veteran coaches, and Raheem is a veteran, would struggle with other coaches in dealing with the Cousins meltdown and how you handle it. The reason I bring up Belichick, he's in the news again and again after North Carolina has to release a press release talking about his girlfriend and what happened in a CBS interview. CBS then releases a press release saying there was never any stipulation about ground rules for the interview on CBS Sunday Morning's news program about specifically discussing his book. So they're like, no, man, there was nothing that was out of bounds. You know, then all of a sudden your lady friend says, no, that's over. We're dropping it right here. Well, listen to this. You know, he's dating Jordan Hudson, 24 years old. So he's 72. They said that they first met on a flight from Boston to Florida in 21.
Lies!
And then started, you know, getting a little more serious. She's a graduate of a school called Bridgewater State University, has a degree in philosophy. Now, it's interesting now because we're finally finding more about Jordan Hudson. who's got the crazy eyes. And now it looks like so many younger women who manipulate older men when they lose their faculties. That's what's happening with Belichick. Now, according to TMZ Sports, this story I'm reading is from Black Sports Online. Jordan Hudson's former lover racing to her defense, blasting haters who have accused her of being a gold digger for her romance with Bill Belichick, says that she's, quote, wise beyond her years.
Oh, well, I bet she is.
And I guess she'd have to be wise beyond her years to date her when you're 64.
What?
Yes, her last boyfriend is a man named Joshua L. Zuckerman. A businessman tells TMZ Sports he met Hudson several years ago after bonding over psychology, philosophy, and nature. They became romantic. Two were off and on for a while, but ceased their dating relationship just prior to Hudson coupling up with Bill Belichick. He still remained friendly with the 23-year-old former cheerleader through her time with the future Hall of Famer. And he said in a statement to TMZ Sports, he's been appalled by some of the negative things that have been said about his ex online. She's wise beyond her years, much more than any 20-something I've ever met in my life. The narrative about her character is not fair to her. As our man from BSO writes, seems like Zuckerman wants to get some of that 50 minutes himself.
No doubt.
So, Josh Zuckerman, 64. Sounds like she's got daddy issues, baby.
She likes older men, Mike. There's no debating that now.
Yes, it's definitely a winter-spring romance for Miss Hudson.
So how long did they work together? How long?
It says on again, off again. Said they met several years ago, so as in more than one. So conservatively, she would have been 21. If you want to go a little more down the road, she could have been 20 when the then 61-year-old would have been working his rap about. Apparently, that was Belichick's rap too, right? They're talking about philosophy.
It was. That's right. Yeah, yes. Isn't that interesting? Like, and by the way, maybe I'm majoring in the wrong thing. She's got this, $8 million real estate thing working now, a couple of different spots. I'm like, man, that philosophy degree's paying crazy.
Yeah, man. And who knew? I mean, generally, you just have to start a fans-only page and go to work. But in this case, that Bridgewater State degree on philosophy is really...
It's amazing.
I guess, what does she like to talk about? Existential questions, man's battle versus nature.
Whatever it is, she had these guys hooked.
Man's battle versus ED.
Oh, come on.
Not to paint with a broad brush, I'm just saying.
Any particular discipline?
No, not really. Man's search for faith, that sort of.
So anyway, you can read our good buddy in a BSO. And again,
that's crazy.
Robert Little is a friend of ours who does a good job.
So what you're telling me is she's got a type.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me.
Generally 40 years older.
She's got a type.
Minimum. By the way, I asked this. Now, your wife's doesn't care, right? It's water under the bridge, right? Water
of course.
If Becky, she's down in Lauderdale with some friends. You can turn the radio off now, honey, on the Odyssey app, by the way. And by the way, I know we're getting off at 60 days. If you miss some of the show, try the Odyssey app.
Even, please.
And you listen to Chris as well, but if you're in the car with the Odyssey app, you can still listen to us if you're in the car after 6. And that's something that, we've talked about. The Odyssey app is great in your car. We recommend everybody talks about it all the time. Cha-cha, so get on that. So what was the greatest age difference in anyone you've dated?
I think it was, let me think. 1, 2, 3.
You take your shoes off to count this one?
I'm just thinking, Mike. Hold on. It was 8 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
8 years.
Interesting.
Because I was trying to think. At the time, because I was young.
She was older.
Yes. That was older to me at the time.
Right.
I think it was 8 years, which is really not, like, I think about that now. It's not a big deal.
Oren, what about you? You ever have a little older spice?
Yeah, and I was 35. I went out with a girl a couple times. It was 27.
Again, 8. We're not really pushing the boundaries. Day-Day, I know you've been a family man since you were 12.
Yeah, it was 8 for me as well. I was 19, and she was 27.
Yeah, see, right.
Y'all had 2 different realms at that point.
But that was kind of similar to my situation.
Now, I honestly, in a full disclosure, I really can't take shots at Jordan Hudson if she is, in fact, a gold digger. Because I, too, have been a gold digger on 2 occasions.
How old was she?
I was 19. She was 41.
Okay, that's a big deal.
She was.
That's not really gold digging, though. That's.
I was boy toy.
Yeah, she was cougaring.
Yeah. She looked like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction with the hair. She was British. This is out in the Hamptons. Okay. I met her at the bar.
I know this was the Hamptons. This had to be the Hamptons. Yeah,
all stories come back.
Always an older lady in the Hamptons. Yes.
Remember the scene in Cocktail when Tom Cruise has got the older chick? Very similar to that. She'd have me as like the boy toy. Took me to. I went to. Here's an obscure reference. Maybe 3 guys in the audience will get. I'll throw it out there anyway. Do you remember when the Hornets debuted, and it was kind of cool. They had the pinstripe uniform.
They were ugly.
Well, the designer, Alexander Julian, was a close personal friend.
Okay.
So I got to go to the Alexander Julian Christmas party.
Wow.
So I was kind of, as a 19-year-old, you know, wet behind the ears.
Did she buy you an outfit, or did you wear,
She did. She took me to Barney's.
There you go.
I'm going to need you to wear this tomorrow night.
I got an Armani suit out of that. And a second, while we're on the subject, since we're just discussing, I just want to give you full disclosure, because I know a couple of my friends have been breaking my balls. We've been talking about this, you know, this Jordan Hudson situation. The other times when I first moved to Atlanta, and I was so broke, you've heard the story. I took care of my grandmother, and I went nearly bankrupt in the process. I didn't even have a car when I came. I had an old motorcycle and barely worked. So I met this lady at Johnny's Hideaway.
Oh, imagine
and,
that.
And I'm just saying. And so, I mean, for you youngsters out there, both male and female, there is an angle to work over here.
I just love it.
Like, don't be afraid to shoot your shot with older guys.
Carl, his picture hung up against, it was up on the bar.
Oh, Stakey?
No, Mike Bell's.
Oh, Mike Bell's one.
It was a headshot of Mike Bell right above the bar.
My photo's in the bar at Johnny's Hideaway. No, he's still there.
I love it because one time we were out and Stake was like, what are we doing next? And that's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, what do you want to do?
No, I had a woman buy me a set of
furniture. It's a great spot, by the way. No, if you've never been, it's like Atlanta treasure.
I had a lady buy me a set of furniture and bedding for the bed. You can't beat that.
No, you can't.
I couldn't afford that.
She bought you a bedroom suit.
Set. Yeah, I was living in the real world house in Sandy Springs.
That's great. Try out with Mike Bell.
Was that not?
Yeah,
man. It was all right.
So what you're saying is no discriminating over here.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I can't yell at Georgia players for speeding. I can't yell at Jordan Hudson for being a money grubber with an older person, because I have done it on two occasions.
Yeah.
Well, when it necessity.
Here's the deal, though. Your boys know it's like when they finally get around to seeing her, and your boys know you're like, oh, I know why you're dating her. I know what's up.
No, but both women were attractive older women. I wasn't going to, you know, me, you and I aren't going to slum it.
No. Earth the Kit and Boomerang, Marcus.
No. Marcus.
Yes, exactly.
Earth the Kit.
Yeah, man. But I will say this, though. Were you ready for that day at 19? Were you ready for that?
You ready for that smoke?
You weren't ready for it, were you?
No, I wasn't. But I tell you what, bragging rights on campus.
Right. Now, I took her to a Mets game.
I was the main.
I already know.
Yeah. They had more juice than Mother Goose.
Yeah.
This guy's got more moves than a bag of worms. You see him on the dance floor. Man.
Yeah. I can imagine you flaunting that.
I took the older lady, and I was in Long Island, to a Mets game. We had the seats back then. And then, remember, my dad and I were at a game, like the next homestand. And one of the ushers, this old retired New York City cop, goes, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, what your son brought in here last week. Holy cow, that skirt. Oh, my God. So it did make an impression. So it was
and good time. She was 41?
41. Yeah. She was a dancer. She had been on Broadway and stuff, and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I hope that my wife's not listening.
I learn something new every day about
listening,
you.
Watching, judging. Yeah. I shared something with you. You hadn't heard before.
I did. I did not know that that story. I knew about you getting money from women, but I did not know that story.
Yeah, I was a dirt bag. I did, you know, chick did bankroll. A woman did bankroll the first apartment I had up here only to,
Man, we all need help,
you
bro.
You heard that story.
We all need help.
Me throwing the clothes thrown out on Peachtree Street and then, all right. Did you see the video? And again, the guy's in critical condition, so I don't know what. But I've seen multiple angles now of this Pittsburgh fan, presumably a Pittsburgh fan, in the Pirates Stadium up there that falls out of center field, drops 21 feet out of the Clemente bleachers. It looked like if it's not a medical condition, I don't want to judge or try to sound like a doctor, but if you saw the video, it's like he jumps over the railing.
Over the wall, yeah.
I mean, or whatever it is, or something I mean, I know you don't want to have a railing so high to obstruct your view. I mean, common sense, most people just don't simply swing over the darn thing like they've been pushed, and that's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's out there. Clemente Wall is obviously, Clemente's number was 21. The wall is 21 feet high.
Right.
And the Pirates didn't speak after the game last night, Mike. The clubhouse was closed. If you missed it, guys, they're playing the Cubs. Guys are on the field taking knees. Everybody's praying because it was just the weirdest thing. And you know, we've seen this at football stadiums recently, right? We've seen a couple of people from the upper decks and whatnot. But this did look suspiciously like, what is going on?
And again, I've seen three versions of this video, and I know they're saying he fell, but I mean, look, like he intentionally did what he did. Yeah. So either way, hey, I got time for one more real quick. We got the Falcon Report coming up, guys. You and I love of a certain generation. I'm a child of the 80s. I don't know, Day-Day, Oren, you love Miami Vice, the old Miami Vice?
The old original, yes.
Hell, man. We dressed up like Crockett and Tubbs for Halloween one year. Well, the reason I bring it up is it's a new potential Miami Vice. With the Top Gun Maverick director, Joseph Kosinski, scheduled potentially to pilot it. It looks like it's been greenlit by Universal. Dan Gilroy, who wrote Nightcrawler and directed that, has also worked on a lot of Tony Gilroy films, his brother. He also did the Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner, which I thought was good.
It was.
Nobody else liked it but you and me.
I liked it.
But anyway, I've seen a number of guys suggested in an article that Variety had. Let me just throw two names at you. I thought Idris Elba and Bradley Cooper would be great. Maybe get a little too old for Idris, but I think those guys would be dynamic. How about Michael B. Jordan, right, who's killing it right now?
He is.
In Sinners. And how about we go with Glenn Powell, who was the young pilot, the blonde guy. He's been in a number of movies, was in the Maverick movie as well.
He was.
Let him play Crockett and let Michael B. Jordan play Tubbs.
It has unbelievable potential. Obviously, the casting, as you said, that's going to be key.
Because I thought Michael Mann was going to kill it, and that there was zero chemistry with Ferrell and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And apparently Jamie Foxx had just won the Oscar for Ray. It was a real pain in the ass on the set.
Yeah, well,
but that movie just lacked a lot of juice, and the ending was wacky. The whole thing went south.
Again, we thought it was going to be really good, and it did not. But now you're talking about, I think this has a lot of promise, just because of the director you're talking about.
Remember when they fly down to, like, they're in Haiti, and they're dealing with the guy who works for the big drug lord, and he's like, maybe so. Yes, no, maybe no. Who wrote this freaking script? I was like, remember, it was like Jamie Foxx said, it's about to get real. Okay, can we have some dialogue in this movie?
I know.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to this. Let's see what happens. Anyway, that's your guy talk on a Thursday.
Hey, man, coming up. Stop, O. We got to talk about our Falcons. You're concerned about what we're going to look like up front. We'll address that. Also, you're going to hear from some of the coaches who spoke yesterday, including what one coach had to say about Michael Penix Jr. growth. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.